Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Richard Epstein, the new Richard Epstein. Professor teaching law at NYU and the University of Chicago, now the senior research fellow for the Civitas Institute at the University of Texas at Austin. Richard, congratulations. Your column, which we've looked for at Defining Ideas in Hoover these last decades, is now moving to Civitas Institute each week. It will launch officially all completely Civitas at the first of the year. Now it's in both. So I begin with your new column, which is about expropriation. Yes, what a surprise. Richard concerned about the power of the state to take property without adequately compensating the owners. At the same time, the growth of the administrative state that makes this possible. That's the new essay. Sounds like golden oldies, except for Richard in the essay has included a revelation to me that the Inflation Reduction Act, sharp elbows, charged right into the drug negotiation program. I thought, what? What is that going to do with inflation reduction? Well, that's part of the fun here. As I understand it, the Inflation Reduction Act, and right now the White House is said to be spending that money as fast as possible before Mr. Trump is president, and the Trump campaign has said, well, it might be necessary to claw back as much as possible because that Inflation Reduction Act is damaging the American economy as we speak, I'm told. In any event, there are multiple lawsuits challenging the Inflation Reduction Act's drug negotiation program. This is Richard's reporting, because it's permitted the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services to cap prices. Richard, a very good evening to you. Who knew that the Inflation Reduction Act was going to find its way into doctors' lives and Big Pharma's ability to protect itself from the marketplace? What is to be done, Richard? Good evening to you.
Well, I mean, it needs an amputation. The theory is that what we're doing is we're controlling inflation by reducing the deficit. And the way in which we reduce the deficit is that we increase spending by several billion dollars, and then we claim to be able to increase the level of tax by an amount greater than that. So there's a net saving. Of course, the taxes are fixed and the expenditures are uncapped. So the situation quickly reverses itself and you spend far more than you take in. So it's an Inflation Enhancement Act when you start looking at an administration. And this is part of the constant effort of government officials, particularly in the Biden administration, to gussy up very stupid legislation with very virtuous names. And then what they do is they make kind of a mockery with respect to the pharmaceutical issue on the nature of what counts as a drug renegotiation situation. The usual sign of an effective deal is that if you do not want to do business with anybody else, you just say no, and you go back to the previous status quo. And at that point, if somebody wants you to change their behavior, they have to do one of two things if you're a government. You either buy them, so essentially what you do is you get their consent. They're better off, you're better off, and so the rest of the world is better off. Or what you do is you condemn it. And the condemnation side is very tricky because what the government always tries to do when it does this is to pay in anything but cash. The moment you have to put cash on the table, you have a realization requirement, a reality check. And so the gimmick is to say, what we're going to do is get some kind of in-kind benefit that we're going to give to you, and that benefit will turn out to be worthless. And the drug negotiation program that exists under this Inflation Reduction Act is a classic con game. What they do is they say to you, we would like to have these particular drugs. And if you don't want to give them to us, what we will do is we will impose a tax on your revenues. And the tax on those revenues will be not trivial. It may be as much as 90% of your total revenues will go back into taxes to the government. And so if you get $100,000, the tax on that is $90,000 for you to stay in the Medicare or Medicaid program. These programs are monopolies. And what happens is they say, well, if you don't like this, you can leave the programs entirely. And what they mean by that is you have lots of other contracts. Many of them are worth tens of billions of dollars or close to that. And if you don't want to basically play the game on this small little thing, we'll just basically say goodbye to all the other stuff. So essentially the way the deal is, either you accept the small tax on the one hand, or you have to recognize the fact that the government is going to refuse to do business with you.
Richard, doesn't that mean that's an existential threat?
Yes, of course it's an existential threat. That's what it's meant to be. The argument is the threat is so great it will never be used because people will simply capitulate. And so there have been a bunch of lawsuits about this, and most of them, in my mind, have not taken the right course of action. What they try to do is to find some technical defect in the way in which these programs are put together, rather than seeing it as a comprehensive abuse of monopoly power, which is what it is. And so it turns out if you're a classical liberal, there are two things you care about. One is consent. And the other is monopoly. And what the government cleverly says is, well, we gave you the choice to leave and you decided to stay. And so under libertarian principles, you have to do this. But once you have monopoly, it never works. So, for example, suppose, John, I'm a cartelist and everybody knows that. And what I do is I set you a very high price above the competitive level. And I tell you, take it or leave it. And you decide to take it. Under the view of the government, since you consented to the increase, it turns out you can't challenge it in court under the antitrust law. Think for a second and you realize there are no antitrust laws because the only people who can sue are those who signed up. You're never going to allow causes of actions for people who don't want to take the program at all. Everybody can say, I would have taken it. So what you do is you do these people. And the loss is, of course, they are now giving up the difference in wealth between the competitive price and the government stipulated or the contract stipulated price. You still get a surplus, but it's reduced. And so for social welfare reasons, we want this to go right back down to the competitive level. And the government is playing exactly the same game. There's no other place you can go to deal with Medicare and Medicaid. Those are the only games in town. They're a monopolist. And so what they do is they set a monopoly price for you or a monopsony price, the monopoly owned by a buyer, and say, take it or leave that. And the answer is just flatly illegal for them to play that game. We've never allowed a private party to do this, and we should never allow the government to do this. And it's one of the things that is wrong with pure libertarian theories, is it doesn't have any place for the special treatment of a monopoly. Let me just give the simplest kind of example. Two contracts. Contract number one is A decides to sell beans to B, and they agree on a mutual price that leaves them both better off. A libertarian says, that's great. But they say, we don't care what the content of a contract is. All we want to know is about mutual consent. So the next contract is between two sellers of beans, each of which says, I'll take this territory, you take that territory, or we'll both raise our prices 20%. And that turns out to be a voluntary contract because there's neither force nor fraud used against the party. But it's economic harm to third parties at its place. So the antitrust law has always said these contracts are in restraint of trade. The difference between an ordinary contract and a contract in restraint of trade is not one that a pure libertarian accepts. And it's one that everybody else has started to accept. And then the question is, what's the remedy? Well, one of the reasons you could do is say, okay, we're just not going to enforce the cartel. Maybe it will break down. The government is not going to break down because of non-enforcement. So what you have to do is to find a way to invalidate the contract or to allow third parties to attack it. So everybody's going to court knowing, in effect, that this is the problem. And the issue is, can we get any of the courts to see that the monopoly problem is distinct from the consent problem? And I've read many of the cases under this and earlier statutes where they simply say consent is all that matters. So the briefs that I have written in this case with my friend Adam Candub and Ben Flowers and May Mailman has been stressing the monopoly issue, which has not been raised by most other people. But what it does is it shows you how sneaky this could be. And if you read the full article in Keyword Toss, it's just an illustration of one of many ploys that people use to extend government monopoly powers in ways that wipe out private individuals. The earlier example that I gave was the one having to do with rent control. And what that says, in effect, oh, you can throw this fire out. No, you can't. It's the lease is over, but you're now forced to renew the lease at the same price you renewed it before, even though the value of the property is triple. Well, you're stealing a reversion. That is an interest after the lease, and keeping it for yourself and then giving it to a private party. And from the beginning of time, these things have always been recognized as decent sets of laws. And when that starts to happen, you get what happens in New York City now. As somebody said quite accurately, the only thing that is more dangerous to a system than rent control in terms of running a real estate local market is a bomb. Otherwise, this thing in the end will basically so distort the markets in one way or another. It's a system of price controls. But what's worse than that, it's price controls by the parties in possession, which means it will last forever because of the protection it gets in the political
Richard,
arena.
Finally, about the Inflation Reduction Act, drug negotiation program, I'm looking for what's driving this, because this is the end of the Biden administration. All right? What's driving this? Is this single payer? Is that what's driving this?
It is something like single payer. It is the belief that somehow or other everybody who makes a decent product and earns a fair profit.
If they drive farm out of business, that's single payer success, yes?
Well, no, because they need it. They need to have them as a captive company. Look, the way this was put to me many, many years ago by one of my late friends, Gary Bell, he says, what we're trying to do is to leave the capitalist enough money that he'll continue to provide us, but suck away all the surplus. And that's just not something that
who pays for R&D, the government or the...
Well, that's the point. The government can pay for R&D. You look at the FDA, its entire predicate as a model is you present us with the data and we'll evaluate it. The FDA is utterly incapable of doing any original
research. Does Bernie Sanders have an answer to R&D?
No, he doesn't. Look, I mean, the one time I met this man, he was an economic illiterate. And 10 years later, he's still an economic illiterate. They think that all this stuff comes on out of trees. And there have been people who said, well, let the FDA do the research. Well, who's going to pick the projects and who's going to decide when to quit and how are you going to fund them? It takes roughly $1 billion plus to bring a new chemical entity to market. And only private companies can do that.
So the administrative state's opinion is we've got all the drugs we need right now. We don't need R&D. We're going to stay like this for the next 100 years. Is that their opinion?
Well, it's not their opinion, but it's the consequence of what will happen if you dry up research. But as people get older, the number of illnesses like Alzheimer's disease and dementia and so forth become larger. So that as you start to move into these new longer life periods, these new researches become completely essential. And there are also many conditions now for which we do not have an effective cure. And so that people die from them. It is a sobering lesson. If you look at the advances that have been made in surgery, largely an unregulated profession, as to those in the drug industry, the surgical ones are much more astounding. And why is that? Because they're not basically constantly beaten down by an FDA, which doesn't know what it's doing. It's a very, very sad type of situation to watch the way in which they squeeze these markets down. And then when their political pressures, the one thing they start to let through are vaccines that have not been fully tested. And you see all the complications associated with the COVID vaccine program.
Did you know that the Inflation Reduction Act was going to be used by the single payer lobby to press the case? Did you know that when they passed it?
It was plain in the nose of your face that whatever it is you called single payer, socialized medicine, government price control, the whole purpose of the statute in this particular case is to essentially bring the pharmaceutical industry under the hand of the federal government and to destroy its independence.
So they push $1 trillion into our economy. That drives inflation, and all for the purpose of what? Obamacare 2? That was the idea?
Well, those guys say yes, because government knows best. I mean, they don't believe in decentralized inquiry. And this is not the only case I've been working on. There are other cases where, in effect, their private lawsuits were designed to tax almost to a point of abolishment various kinds of innovations. Certain drugs that are used as antiviral drugs in California, TDF and TAF, they're being sued for the grounds that they didn't bring them out at the right time in the right sequence. So billion-dollar successes, multi-billion-dollar successes, are now treated as absolutely dangerous situations where the anticipated liability that the plaintiffs win on their theories is, in fact, probably equal to the net worth of the company, Gilead, that put them out. This
Richard,
is all craziness.
We need you elsewhere, Richard. We will come back to this another day. You've launched Civitas with your big, very helpful essay about the Inflation Reduction Act. As far as I'm concerned, I'll mention this from now on, that it's used as a way of undermining the American marketplace. which is what the inflation does, but they're doing it more insidiously. They're doing it in terms of existential threat of a private enterprise. We're going to turn to the pardon power. Richard's going to tell us about the pardon office. Richard Epstein, Professor Richard Epstein of the Civitas Institute, headquartered at the University of Texas at Austin. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.